And here's the cool part about your story, if there could be one. You know, God gets the glory for everything, right? The cool part is when people do drugs and then they go, oh, well, you know, they came from nothing, they are nothing, whatever. We're talking a man making six figures. His wife's a physician. And he goes down because the devil takes him down. It can happen to anybody. Anybody at any time. Because we're talking about the battle. Excuse me. And we're talking about Satan. And you know, anytime you talk about spiritual warfare, and sometimes some of you don't know, but I'm going to tell you, the devil, he is busy today. Man, I spent hours and hours and hours and hours on the computer, got here this morning, plugged it in, nothing. I was like, you know, so now, and I had to redo everything, move it into another format so we could do it differently and at least still display it. People that are supposed to be here aren't here, but here's the cool part, where God's working, people that I didn't know was going to be here are here. And so, man, God works, and he's greater than the devil. But you need to understand the devil is real. And we're going to learn a little bit about the battle today. We're going to talk about the battle of the mind, because the title of the message is The Battlefield. But before we do, we're going to watch this video. Did we really need to see a battle, a movie, to get it? Yes. You got to get the idea. See, it's hard to understand or to believe that we're in a battle with Satan, or that we're even in a battle at all. Because how many got up this morning and thought, okay, I'm going to be fighting a war that I know nothing about? How many got up and said that this morning? You know, there's a few who said, okay, I'm going to. But for the majority, you got up this morning and you went about your business and you never thought anything about it. Meanwhile, the enemy, the devil, and yes, there is a real devil, is behind the scenes. He's putting things in place because he wants to conquer you. Man, he is setting up. You notice when you've seen that scene, he was out there and he was prepared for what he thought was the battle, Russell Crowe. It was him against another man, right? And so he's ready to fight. And before you know it, what happens? Here comes some more men out of one side and some more of his enemies out the other side. And then when he falls, there's a door that opens up and an enemy comes out of there. I'm telling you, the enemy is all around us. And he does exactly that. He comes out of places that we least expect. Because all he wants to do is take us down. Now, I'm not here to bring you down today. I'm here to teach you and hopefully get you to open your eyes and see that we have an enemy. And the enemy is Satan. The enemy is after you. And you say, well, I didn't sign up for this war. Here's the crazy part about it. You don't have to sign up. You're automatically in. The difference is you have to sign up for God's side or you just stay on the devil's side and you go, I don't like that, but that's the truth. That is what it is, because the Bible says that we are born into the devil's family because we're born sinful creatures. Now, to get out of the devil's family, we have to move over to God's side. It has to be a purposeful decision. And if we don't make that decision, we don't make the move. And if we don't make the move, then we're on the devil's side because the Bible says that we're of the devil. And I know some of you are going, I don't like that preacher already. I'm not coming back. But listen, I'm telling you the truth, and you need to hear this. And if you don't like what I'm saying, that's fine. But at least when you go home, think about that. Okay? Digest that. Wonder. Say, is that crazy man really right? God, show me. That's all I want you to do, okay? All right. So what we're going to be talking about is we're talking about the battlefield. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. If you'll turn, does anybody need a Bible? You have one? We got one over here, Buck. Anybody else? You need a Bible? You forgot it? You didn't bring it? Anybody need a Bible? Raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one. Okay. All right. Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians is toward the back of the book. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you get anywhere in there, you're going to be close. All right, so it's toward the back. Ephesians 6:10 through 12. Let's read that. Can I have everyone stand with me as we read the Word of God? It'll be the last time you stand until it's time to go, okay? All right, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know the devil's not pleased this morning. Lord, the enemy is never pleased when they're exposed. Lord, I just ask that you would help us to have open eyes, open hearts, open minds. Lord, that we could see clearly our enemy, understand clearly that we are in a battle. And Lord, that through this, we would be equipped to handle this battle or fight it as best we can, knowing that you will deliver us. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. The first thing I want you to notice about this battle is it's a serious conflict. It is a serious conflict. In verse 12, we will see that he talks about here in verse 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen, this is a serious battle. And it's real serious when you can't see your enemy. Right? You're going, man, all right, who is my enemy? Where is my enemy? We've got to fight this. It's kind of like right now, our government, our country is fighting a battle and they don't know who their enemy is. Right? I mean, they got an idea who their enemy is, but they could be looking their enemy right in the eye and never know it's their enemy. And then the next day, that same person drives a car into a building that's loaded with a bomb and blows everything up. They don't know who their enemy is, so they're trying to figure it all out. Let me tell you something. Our battle is just the same. The only thing is, we can't always see our enemy. Ephesians 6:12, it reads this. This is out of the Message. Now, I don't particularly care for the Message, but sometimes it says things better than I can. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. Listen, this is for keeps. This is life or death. And you go, man, you're crazy. This isn't life or death. Hey, when you die, that's it. And who you chose to fight with, whether it's God or Satan, that's going to choose your battle. That's going to choose your life or death. That's where it ends, right there, as we know it. But then it really starts from there. It's a spiritual battle. So you need to realize it is a place of serious conflict. Now, you need to get an idea of what was going on back in that day. When Paul would talk about it, and Paul always talked about fighters and boxers and wrestlers, and you read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He'll talk about the wrestling and the Olympic Games. But when we think of boxing, we think of 16-ounce gloves, right? Yes? Or how about MMA? How many watch MMA? Yeah, we got a few. For those of you who don't watch it, I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding. MMA, they put on these 4-ounce gloves. They're smaller, but yet they're still padded. They tape up their hands so they don't break their hands, and they put on these 4-ounce gloves. So when we think of fighting, we think of boxers with these big gloves on or MMA fighters with the little gloves on. But either way, they have gloves on. These boxers back in the day, and by the way, there's a referee, there's a ring, there's a referee, and there's a clock. And so when they're done, when the clock's over, if they're not done fighting, they're done fighting. If they're doing something wrong or illegal, or the referee steps in and stops it and docks them a point or however it works. But back in that day, when the boxers would get up and fight, they would wrap their hands in they would wrap them up in leather, but in this leather would be pieces of lead. In this leather would be pieces of glass, pieces of steel. And so, and these boxers would even wear a hat to protect their skull from getting crushed. We're talking boxers, right? You don't think about a boxer like that, but I want to give you this picture because this is what happened. And so when they got up to fight, man, they had glass, they had lead, they had steel in their gloves, they had cranial caps on to protect their heads from getting crushed, and they would fight with no referee. They would fight with no time clock. They would fight to the death. And so if you went home at the end of the day, you had a good day. If you didn't go home, well, it wasn't a good day for you. They would fight to the death. The wrestlers, same way. The wrestlers would fight, and usually what would happen is they would die of strangulation because they would fight to the death. And this is what would happen. And it was. This is how they would fight. So when Paul says, hey, listen, there's going to be a battle, and it's going to be, and he talks about the boxers and the wrestlers, let me tell you something. This was a battle. They knew the seriousness of the war. They knew the seriousness of the fight. And sometimes, especially in America, we don't know the seriousness of a fight. Here's what we know. We know that we have it pretty good. I mean, in America, if you're hungry, you go down to Price Chopper. In Missouri, they got a Price Cutter, and here is a Price Chopper, and sometimes I get them confused. But you go down to Price Chopper, and you buy lunch meat, you buy food, drink, whatever you want. No problem. You don't have clothing to wear, or you need a new pair of shoes? Hey, you just go down to the mall, Crossgate, Colony, or go to Walmart. Whatever you want to do, you get a pair of shoes. We have it pretty easy. We need a new car? We just go down and we get another car. Not always a brand new car, but we can get another car. We have it pretty easy. And so we lose sight of any kind of struggle. But there's people here today that are struggling. And I'm going to tell you, you are struggling either with alcoholism or drug addiction. You're struggling with pornography. You're struggling with marriage is struggling. You're struggling with your relationship with your children or children. You're struggling with a relationship with your parents. You're struggling relationship with your spouse or your friends. Maybe you've lost your spouse and now you're struggling. You're brokenhearted. Let me tell you something. There are struggles in this world. We are not exempt from a battle. Is anybody here exempt from anything I just mentioned? No, we are all a part of that. And let me tell you something, the spiritual battle is just as strong. But there's a deliverance. We have deliverance, but it's only through Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only deliverance we have. And so when we're talking about this battle, the first thing we know is that it is a serious conflict. The second thing that we know is a place of strategic influence. A place of strategic influence. Verse 12 says, not against flesh and blood. See, if we're fighting flesh and blood, if you're my enemy and you come up to me, I can see you. And we can fight it out. And it's not a problem. Matter of fact, in my day, I used to invite that. I enjoyed fighting, I'll be honest with you. I didn't want a rule book. Let's just throw down, right? Of course, then I found Jesus and all that changed. And now I don't want to fight. I just want to tell people about the fight. But I want you to see that it is a place of strategic influence. And you know, on this battle, when we're talking about the serious conflict, I need to back up one second because some people miss this. When we start losing the battle, it's because we've left doors open for our enemy to come in. We leave doors open. You say, what do you mean doors? What kind of doors? Give in to the temptation, right? Oh, hey, I can try this once. It's never been a problem. I've never experienced. Boom, you're hooked. That was a door. Maybe you think you can look at something that you shouldn't look at. Before you know it, you're hooked. I mean, these doors that we're talking about, and they're just small doors. How about just having an innocent conversation with somebody that you know you really shouldn't be having this conversation with privately or on the phone or however, because you know that this person likes you, they're attracted to you, so you're married. You shouldn't be having this conversation. But you know what? Maybe your spouse isn't treating you like you think the spouse should treat you, and so all of a sudden you invite this. It feels good for somebody to kind of hit on you a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, some of you, okay. And you go, and so you're on the other end. Well, look, whether male or female is pretty immaterial this, because all of us are idiots at times and fall for this trap. And so you're on the other end and you're like, yeah, he's talking good stuff, or she's like, and anyway, we're taking it in, right? We're enjoying this. But what is it? It's Satan. You're opening a door. What you need to do is go, look here, bum, I don't want to talk to you about this. I'm married. Goodbye. But then we go, well, I can't do that. It's rude. How rude is it to destroy your family? You see what I'm saying? These doors, guys, we can't leave a door open, and because it's a strategic, a place of strategic influence. And what I'm talking about here is the battle of the mind. The influence, the strategic influence, is a battle of the mind. Satan wants to get into your head. And how does he do that? Look, Satan, he don't care about being all powerful to get you. He doesn't need that. Remember, last week I told you the battle's about truth. Right? Do you remember that? It's about truth. And if he can just deceive you a little bit, if he can just get you to believe that much of a lie, he's got you. He'll snatch you and you go, well, how does that happen? Well, just in case you don't know how it happens, I have a video that I want us to look at. And I think she's forgotten how to find the video. That's okay. We have a video that I want you to look at.
Simply introduce new ways to seek fulfillment,
personal fulfillment,
unveil a new God, so to speak, Mother Nature,
Mother Nature,
power,
self-enlightenment,
self-enlightenment. Yes, at the root of all absolute truth lay its most powerful adversary, relativism.
For one, may not be true at all for another,
and what's right for her may not be right for him,
as long as it makes them happy.
Relativism. You hear that? Different ways. How does Satan get into the mind? Just like that. Subtle little things. Well, hey, you know what? That's good for you, but it's not good for me. I can do this. You can't. You couldn't handle that. I can. And so Satan gets you to believe this stuff. Relativism. And next thing you know, it's a hook. And then he just takes you and pulls you in. And not always the struggle. It's not like he trips you up and pulls you in so fast that you can't stand it. No, no, it's a slow, you don't even realize you're caught. And he just pulls you in and reels you in. And before you know it, you're in the net and then you're in the frying pan. And so I want you to see here that it is of the mind. Okay? It is of the mind. Man, the devil gets in your mind. And how about this? Remember in Genesis, the devil was talking, or the serpent was talking to Eve? And the serpent said, listen, you can eat of that tree. And she said, oh no, God said if I eat of that tree, I will surely die. And he goes, you won't die. No, this day I'll die. You won't die today. God knows if you eat of that tree, you'll be like him. Now, did Satan lie? Oh, was it a whole lie? No, guess what? That day they didn't die physically. They died spiritually. That day they were like God. When they ate of that fruit, we don't know what kind of fruit it was. I know everybody likes to say it's an apple, but we don't know that. You go back and read the scriptures. It just says the fruit. When they ate of that fruit, they died spiritually that day. So as soon as they ate it, and matter of fact, it's the Bible says that Eve, and ladies, I hate to say it, but it was your fault that we're here today. But it says that Eve, and I love this, Eve said that Adam was standing there, And it says that she gave it to Adam, who was with her. Now, this is kind of intriguing because I'm not too sure about this scripture, but I mean, I know what it says, but I'm just going to give you my little take on it. That Adam was with her. So I bet you here's what happened. Here's Eve. She takes a bite of the apple, or the fruit. Let's call it an apple for sake of whatever. She takes a bite of it, right, of the fruit. And I can see she... Right? And then here's Adam. Just waiting on her to drop over dead, right? I'll let you be the guinea pig. It's all right. Honey, how you feel? Little queasy? You haven't lost any color yet. Dizzy? Maybe a little dizzy? No? Well, maybe God did lie to us. Give me some of that apple. And he takes a bite, and he goes, right? Because there's still that question mark. I'm okay. God did lie to us. But what happened spiritually? Their eyes were open. They recognized they were naked. And so spiritually, they died that day. Was God lying? No. Did Satan deceive? Yes. Did he deceive with truth? Half truth. And that's how he gets us. He'll tell you something, just a little something. It's called bait, guys. It's called bait. How many ever went fishing? Yeah, it's called bait. You know what bait is? It lures in. How about this? Go deer hunting and you put on that buck, that buck scent or whatever it is. It's urine, for those of you who don't know. You go ahead and spritz yourself with a little urine. And to you, within 5 minutes, you're like, at first it goes on, you're like, whew. But after about 5 minutes, you don't even know it's there. Until you get up next to your honey and they go, get away from me. I don't want nothing to do with you, right? But this is what happened. It's called bait. And he lures you in. And after a while, you don't even realize that you have the bait on you. You don't even realize that you stink. Because it's just part of your life. And then all of a sudden, man, it's like, he's got you. We have to be so, so careful of that. As you think, you are. As you think, you act. As you believe, so is your behavior. So if Satan gets you to believe a half lie and gets you to believe that you're okay and you're strong enough not to touch this stuff, or you're strong enough to have this relationship with the opposite sex that you know you shouldn't be having, if you're strong enough to play with fire because you won't get burnt, listen, if he can get you to believe that and think that way, then your behavior starts acting that way. All of a sudden you think you can do things and get away with it. All of a sudden you think that you got the world by the tail, right? Or the cat by the tail, so to speak, and no harm's going to come to you because, man, you're strong, you can do this. And so as he gets you to thinking, that's how you start believing. That's how you start acting. 2 Corinthians 11:3. I want you to turn there. It's just to the left a little bit. I mean, literally, just a couple of pages. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest somehow... By the way, this is Paul talking. He says... But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. God says this is simple. And guess what we say? It can't be that simple. Hey, going to heaven is easy. It can't be that easy. Yeah, no, really it is. No, it's not. Hey, guess what? God says the simplicity is unbelievable. So as we look here, I want you to read a quote to you. It says, if the enemy can influence your mind, he can then manipulate your emotions and subvert your will. If the enemy can influence your mind, he can then manipulate your emotions and subvert your will. And you go, not me. I'm too good for that. He's got you. Remember, pride comes before a fall. So right when you think you've won, you better look real good because you may just be on the brink of losing. Satan, listen, he's crafty and he's going to get to you. You know, how many people say, well, I would never do that? Right? You know, how about they leave their spouse and they get a divorce because of adultery? Well, you look at your friend and you go home and you tell your wife, or your wife tells you, I don't know how that can happen, man. How in the world can they let something like that break them up? They know better. Man, that would never be me. I would never let that happen in my life. And then 2-3 years later down the road, the same people are calling me going, Pastor, can you help me? Sure, what happened? Oh, I messed up. How'd you mess up? Oh, I had an extramarital affair. And I got caught, and now I'm paying the price. Wait a minute, weren't you the one 4 years ago, 3 years ago, who said that would never happen to me? And then they go, well, you don't have to shove it in my face. No, I'm not shoving it in your face. I just want you to know. See, listen, the mind plays tricks on us. How many heard about they have cameras up at the red lights now, so that when you drive through, they take your picture, right? They can give you a ticket. So this guy goes through and he wasn't speeding, but he noticed a flash. And he went, wow, I wasn't even speeding. They just took my picture. He says, well, I'll take care of that. So he goes around and he goes a little bit slower. Boom, it flashes again, takes another picture of him. He's going, wait a minute, I'm going slower than that. I'll fix them. I'll go around again even slower. So he goes around even a little bit slower. It flashes again, takes a picture of him. He does this 5 times. And he, after the 5th time, he's at a crawl. I mean, he's just barely moving through the red light. Boom, it takes a picture of him. He's saying, I'm not even speeding. What silliness it is. So he goes home. Well, about a month later, he gets 5 tickets in the mail for not wearing a seatbelt. Listen, the mind, you know, we think we have it, right? We think we've captured this. And then all of a sudden we realize it just comes right back up behind us and snaps us in the rear, right? Isn't that what happens? And so I want you to know, man, listen, that the devil, the enemy is out there, and if we're not careful, he will conquer us. We're not too sly. We're not that good. You know, he's the king of crafty. I mean, he's the king of crafty. And he can take any problem in your life and compound it. What? How does he do it? Just by the mind? Remember, I've talked about attitude before, and you get up in the morning, and one morning you feel great, and you're ready to leap tall buildings in a single bound, and next morning you get up, you don't feel like you can lay at the door, right? And so what happens is, if we're not careful, man, listen, we can't depend on ourselves. We just can't do it. Man, the devil will play with our emotions, he'll pull us in, and he'll make us think we're nothing. He'll make you think that you're nobody. Man, he'll make you think that things are 10 times worse than what they really are. And then all of a sudden you start believing this lie. Because he just sucks you in, man. He just draws you in. And he starts playing with your emotions. And then all of a sudden you start acting out those emotions. Don't you? Right? How many people you ever say, you've seen this, you go up to him, you go, dude, you look a little pale. You okay today? But you're feeling fine. There were no problems with you at all the whole day. Matter of fact, it was one of your best days ever. Man, you better go see a doctor. You don't look too good today. And you go from feeling the greatest, never having a problem in the world, to going, oh, I got to go home. And then before you get to the door, you're like, somebody help me. I'm so sick, right? You guys seen those people? You know what I'm talking about. They didn't have a problem in the world. As soon as you mention a problem, man, they take 10 medications for it now. And you go to the doctor and they'll be happy to give you 10 medications for it, even though there's nothing wrong. But listen, why is that? Because our minds can be tricked. Our minds can be fooled, guys. And we have to be very, very, very careful of that. And I got to jump through some of this stuff. But how is our mind influenced? How is our mind influenced? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk... Oh, I'm sorry. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And so, verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so, here's what we're supposed to do. You know, Paul's getting attacked. He's in prison. He's getting attacked. And so he writes this and he says, listen, guys, you can't do this. You have to be real careful because your mind's going to play tricks on you. What we got to do is we got to take everything into captivity of Christ. We got to bring everything captive. And then once we bring it captive, and you say, what do you mean bring it captive? Listen, these thoughts come into your minds. Basically, what you're going to do is you're going to put them in a prison. You're going to kind of leave them in the prison for a moment. And you're going to sort through them, and you're going to make sure they're of God, and they're not of the devil. You're going to make sure that the enemy's not in that. Because if the enemy's in that, and he pulls you into it, man, he's got you. And so we have to be real careful to take everything captive. He'll bring in false beliefs. False beliefs. Oh, you just believe a little bit of this, you believe a little bit of that. You know, he talks about bringing down strongholds. Here's what he's talking about. He's actually referencing the walls around these cities. Now, to get an idea of these walls could be 19 feet wide, 20 feet wide, 30 feet wide. They can be 20 feet tall. And I mean, these are huge rocks that they make these walls out of, and so that you can't penetrate them. It protects the city. But and it keeps the enemy out. But here's what happens. This is what Paul's talking about. These thoughts that come into our head that control our mind, and they control our actions, they control what we do, and we do silly things when that happens. Paul says, listen, the stronghold, the wall is not to keep the enemy out. This wall is what puts you in prison. Your mind is, it can build a wall and leave you in prison, believing that everything's okay. You know, how many times have you went up to somebody, you've seen somebody acting up, and in your mind you're going, man, I really need to talk to them because their actions are wrong. And then you go to them and you say, hey, look, dude, what you're doing is wrong. No, it's not. Yeah, no, really, it is, man. You can't do what you're doing. It's not wrong. And we justify it, right? That's a prison that we put ourselves in. And Paul says, listen, take all those thoughts captive and put them in prison instead of you. And you have to have a clear mind so you can think and do what God wants you to do. And then he brings in paralyzing doubts. So when he brings in the next one. There you go, paralyzing doubts. Casting down arguments. I told you before, Satan, he'll try and trick you up. He will trip you up if he can, and he'll put doubts in your mind, and you'll argue. And listen, the argument seems to make sense. Evolution. Okay? It might make sense. Until you really look at it. Until you see it's like circular motion. They use this reason to justify this reason, and this reason to justify this reason. They use big words to do it, and so you fall for it because you don't know the big words. And all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, they're just idiots. Because this thing, first off, I hope there's no evolutionists in here. So the first thing is, they go, well, hey, you know what, it's real because we can tell by this and that. And you say, no, God created us. No, we can't be created. Why? Because Satan wants you to believe a lie. And then he'll bring implanted thoughts. And I'm finishing up real quick here, guys. He'll bring implanted thoughts. Because listen, not every thought is of God. And in verse 5, it talks about we have to bring every thought captive. We have to do that. Not every thought is of God, and we have to be discerning. Remember I talked about fiery darts? That's what Satan uses. How many of you ever been thinking about something and out of the blue, I mean out of nowhere, this crazy thought comes into your head. And then you ask yourself, like, where did that thought come from? Those fiery darts. Man, Satan whispers it in your ear. He wants you to think things that aren't good. Why? Because all of a sudden you don't think about things that are pure. You don't think about things that are godly. And you go, oh, how's that? How about suicide? I don't know if anybody in here has ever thought about suicide. But listen, that's not of God. You say, well, I'm not good enough, man. If I just end this right now, I'm better off dead than alive. That's not of God. God says that He made you, that He made you in His image. That you were fearfully and wonderfully made. So why would He want you to destroy what He made wonderful? People think about suicide, or they think about divorce or adultery or debt. Hey, you know what? How about this? I deserve it. Man, I've worked so hard. I deserve that new whatever. And then next thing you know, we're in debt, can't afford it. You got to file bankruptcy. All because Satan said, you deserve it. And then you work so hard that you get... that all of a sudden you got to file bankruptcy, you're losing control of everything you have, but you deserve it. You deserve it. And so if we're not careful, he'll put them thoughts in our head, and then next thing you know, how about, Oh, you're no good. You're no good. What good are you for? And then you start thinking that way. Guys, you got to put them fiery darts out, and you got to think of what's right and what's godly. And then the last thing, the third thing, is a place of supreme victory. We have a place of supreme victory. Verses 11 and 13, and we're not going to go there. It just says, so that you may be able to stand. And it actually says it twice, that you may be able to stand. Listen, I want you to see right now that God has given us a way out. He has given us the Word of God. He's given us Jesus Christ. He's given us His promises, that you be able to stand. Because there's going to come a day when you're going to get knocked off your feet. There's going to come a day when news comes down the pike and it's just going to destroy your world. There's going to come a day when things, Satan's going to throw these bombs at you and you're going to feel like you're missing an arm or a leg. And God says, if you don't have me, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you won't have victory and you won't be able to stand. But I've got good news for you. I sent my only Son to die on the cross for you, that if you should believe and confess in Him that He is Lord, and receive Him into your heart, that He's your God and Savior, then you'll be able to stand when the devil strikes. There'll be peace that's inexplainable. I had a lady talk to me and share some things with me last week. She was sharing with me how she's looking to lose her job because of all the budget cuts and everything that's going on. And she said this. She said, but you know what? Because of God's Word, and because we teach it here, but because of God's Word, I had peace about this. A year ago, before I come to this church, I would have been distraught. But man, God's given me peace. I can't explain it, but He's just given me peace. That's what I'm talking about. That's the victory I'm talking about. You know, they say if you have to explain it, you won't understand. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, really, I cannot explain to you this peace that comes on that passes all understanding. But only God can give it. Only God can sustain it. And only God can sustain you. You get a hold of the enemy, and he's going to give you things that you think are great and grand. Right, Tim? Great and grand. And then all of a sudden, it's just destruction. But then you get so far in, you go, hey, I'm okay, I can get out of this. Kind of like a gambler, you know? I can get out of this. The next big thing is the next big win, I can get out. And he just keeps taking you farther and farther down. And God says, I got victory for you. But you got to reach out and take it. And so if you want victory today, it's only through Jesus Christ. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're struggling, and I know some of you are, and I promise you, I'm not going to call anybody out, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But if you're here today and you're struggling, and you say, you know what, Pastor? I just got things that I got to work through in my life, and they feel like giants in my life. Will you pray for me? Will you raise your hands so that I know it? Thank you. Hands up all over. Thank you so much. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you're here today and you go, man, I want this peace that you're talking about, Pastor, and I don't want this enemy that to get the victory. How do I do that? Well, I'm going to tell you it's real simple, but you got to believe in your heart. This can't be a head decision or a mind decision. This has got to be a heart decision. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of the world. And you go, well, I'm not too sure about that because I don't know all about it. You don't have to know all about it. You just got to believe in your heart that God is God and you and nothing else is. And then you have to do this. You have to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins. And it's real simple. I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you wish to do it, you pray it silently to yourself. Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that there's things going on in my life that I can't handle, and I don't even know how to get the victory over it. I recognize I'm a sinner. I do wrong things. But right now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, to save my soul, to give me the victory and the peace that the pastor talked about. Lord, I ask you for that right now, this very moment. every head bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer today and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, you may have said it 1,000 times before, but you never meant it like you did today. If you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you're forgiven of all your sins. When you die, you'll go to heaven. You go, that's too easy. No, that's too much God.